You're joining us this morning and you haven't been part of our series so far. We're walking our way through the Gospel of Matthew, and through this month of January, we've been focusing on the Sermon on the Mount. And this is now our fourth sermon on that. And I want to read to you a little bit of Matthew chapter 7, specifically verses 7, 1 to 5. Matthew 7, 7 to 12. It's in the sermon notes that are in your bulletin. It's on the back page of that if you want to follow along. "Ask and it will be given to you," Jesus said. "Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Those who seek find. And to those who knock, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or, if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets." Father God, this morning we just pray that you would help us to put our focus on you this morning. Father, as we read this passage and as we take a look at what you're saying to us in the Sermon on the Mount this morning, Father, we just pray that you would help us to see you, to hear your voice, to understand what you're saying to us, and somehow to be changed by that. Father, our desire this morning is not to be entertained or to be intellectually stimulated, but is to hear your voice in order to become the people you want us to be. And so, Father God, I just pray that you would speak this morning through your word and through your spirit. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Just as recap, if you're coming into the Sermon on the Mount this morning, we kind of said the first week we looked at the Beatitudes, and we said the Beatitudes are who we are to become. And then we looked at the next week when Tyler led us, we looked at the sayings of Jesus. "You've heard it said, but I say unto you." And Jesus was looking at, well, this is how you become what you're supposed to become. And then last week, we looked at those three acts of righteousness of giving, praying, and fasting. And again, looking at ways of Jesus saying, this is how you do these things so that you become the people God wants you to be and not just do them for their own sake or do them for your sake, which would be even worse. And then this week, we're looking at three things of God's focus for us, focusing on treasures in heaven, focusing on not worrying about the future and focusing on not judging. And I think God's going to help us to realize that all of that leads into this focus on that passage that we read, that that's the heart of the gospel, that that's the heart of the Sermon on the Mount. And this morning we're just thinking about what is it that we focus on? What is it that you're focused on right now? What is it that you focus your life on? What is it that you focus your week on? And focus is important because focus sort of has two different elements to it. If you're fortunate enough not to wear glasses, then everything for you is in focus, theoretically. And for those of us that wear glasses, we know that we have to put those on for the world to come into proper focus. So that's one kind of focus. But the other kind of focus, and it's, think what Jesus is talking about this morning, is this focus is, what do I focus on given all this that's out there? And I kind of put that in the image of magic, because I love magic. I love to watch magic shows. I love to watch people do tricks and completely fool me, and I try and figure out how it's done. And The secret of magic is really two things, as near as I can figure it out for a non-magician. The first thing is, you can do with your hands stuff that's so fast that the eye can't see it. And you can actually do magic right in front of someone, and they can't actually, their brain and their eyes are not fast enough to see what you've done. That's that manipulative magic. But a lot of magic is also to have a beautiful woman on stage with you, and you kind of keep the focus on her while you're doing over here what you need to do. And that's the kind of focus I think Jesus is talking about today, is what's the beautiful woman in your life that you're focused on when you should be focused on God? We good? All right. So we said last week that the Sermon on the Mount was highly stylized. We said it was written to be memorized. So we have these sections that I kind of showed you this morning. But within those sections, we have this other kind of unique kind of pattern that's there. I don't know if you've noticed this in the Sermon on the Mount, because sometimes we just read chunks of it, not all of it, so we miss the pieces. But what Jesus has after the Beatitudes, up until that passage that I read you right now, but the rest of 5, all of 6, and part of 7, is he has 12 do nots. Everything in there is based on do not 12 different times. So the first 6 of those were Tyler's, where Jesus said, "You've heard it said, but I say to you, do not." Last week we looked at those three acts of righteousness: do not give in this way, do not pray in this way, do not fast in this way. And then this morning we're going to look at 3 more: do not store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, do not worry about the future, and do not judge others. Just trying to give you a map of where we are. But when you look at those last 3, the 3 we're going to look at this morning, so we're looking at do not store up treasures in heaven, do not worry about the future, and do not judge others. And you were to say to yourself, now how do those 3 tie together? What's the glue that holds those 3 as a triplet? And, well, you would say, I could see storing up treasures on earth if I was worried about the future. That makes sense. That's probably why we do it. We're worried about we won't have enough, so we want to store up treasures on earth. But what does that have to do with not judging people? And I think what the glue that holds us together, the string that puts these beads in a row, is this idea of focus. And what Jesus is saying to us this morning is, don't focus on stuff, don't focus on the future, and don't focus on other people's behavior. Because each of those will distract you from what's important. So let's unpack that a little bit this morning. The first one in your notes there is stuff. And Jesus says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And Jesus begins by talking about what I simply call stuff. And I love the word stuff. It just sounds good for one thing. But another thing is it has no content. You can stuff into that word stuff anything you want it to be. And I think when Jesus says, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, he's just saying whatever treasures you would be tempted to store up. So we often think of money, but he's not just thinking about money, I think. Stuff can be anything we own, or in Jesus' thought, anything that owns us. So stuff can be family, stuff can be work, stuff is basically anything that's more important than God. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in. And so then Jesus says the problem with stuff is, you've always got to be focused on it. Because the trouble with stuff is it doesn't stay where it is. The trouble with stuff is that moths come along and eat it, or rust comes along and destroys it, or people come along and take it. And the trouble with stuff is you always have to have your focus on the stuff. And the more stuff you got, the more focus you need to put on it. And so Jesus says the challenge with stuff is that in this world, stuff breaks down. Stuff is, well, stuff is destroyed by moths, rust, and people, thieves. In a sense, you know, moths are just nature's thing. You know, moths come and eat your clothes. Rust comes and rusts your car. That's sort of time. You know, over time, your car is going to rust. Doesn't matter how well you take care of it. You know, you just know that's a given, given salty roads. And thieves will break in and steal if you're not careful. And so he's just saying, you know, that the things of life will happen to your stuff if you're not really carefully focused on it. And even if you are, it'll still happen. And Jesus says the challenge with that is if you have a lot of stuff and that's your focus, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Because what you focus on focuses your heart. It doesn't just focus your eyes, it focuses your heart, it focuses your passions, it focuses your attention, it focuses your loves. And Jesus says the challenge with you, where your focus is that's what's going to be your first love. And if your first love is stuff, he says, you're in for a disappointing ride. And then he goes into this next passage, and he says, the eye is the lamp of the body. And if your eyes are healthy, your whole body is full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. And if the light within you is darkness, how great is the darkness? And I never understood that passage, quite honestly, until this week when I was doing some research for the sermon. And I always just kind of thought that was sort of thrown in there. And it must have some meaning, but I never knew what it was, because all of a sudden you get this distraction with the eyes. And I realized that Jesus is teaching, and the Bible is written, I mean, our Bibles are written in English, which is translated from the New Testament, is written in Greek, but Jesus actually taught in Aramaic, or sometimes Hebrew, but mostly Aramaic, because that's what people spoke, and Aramaic is a cousin language to Hebrew, call it. But even when he's teaching Aramaic, he's reading his Old Testament in Hebrew, so his mind is working in those kind of concepts. And the words that he uses there, if your eyes are healthy, your eyes are good, or your eyes are unhealthy, your eyes are bad. And in Hebrew, the word for good eyes is tov ayin. And the word for bad eyes is ra ayin, which you don't need to memorize today. Except, if you go looking in the Old Testament for those words, you find them. And you find them in very interesting passages, and I put them in your notes there for you. In Proverbs 22:9, it says, the generous will themselves be blessed, for they share their food with the poor. And the Hebrew there literally is the good-eyed, the tov ayin. See, Hebrew is a very picturesque language. We translate it into English, and it loses the thing. I mean, if you learn Hebrew, you learn this beautiful idioms that they have. For example, if you read in Hebrew, his nose grew red. That is translated in your English Bible, he got angry. But isn't that a much better picture? And the same thing with here. You know, the translators have translated that for us, the generous. But literally, it's the good-eyed. And I think that's what Jesus is referring back to. When he says, if your eyes are good, if you're generous, then things are good. See, how do you handle stuff? You handle it with generosity. Secondly, the ra-ayin, the bad eye, we find that in the next verse there. It's a little bit later in Proverbs, the next chapter. Do not eat the food of a begrudging host. Literally, bad-eyed person is what the Hebrew would say. Do not crave his delicacies. He's the kind of person that's always thinking about the cost. And he's picked up these two, and I think the people of his day would have caught the allusion that we don't catch because we don't have the language or the biblical knowledge that the people of his day had. And he's referring to those passages in Proverbs where it's talking about how do you handle stuff? Where is your focus? The good eye is focused on generosity. The bad eye is focused on the stuff. And he's saying, where is your focus? Is it on stuff, or is it on something else? And if you don't read the Hebrew and that, you know, whatever, just replace the word I with the word goal. And I think that passage becomes a whole lot more understandable. Your goal is the lamp of your body. If your goals are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your goals are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. I think that's what he's trying to say to us, is where is your focus? Where is your goal? And the challenge with that is because you can't serve two masters. Now, if you're part of the congregation, you know that I can get a both and into almost every sermon. But there are some times where both ands don't fit. See, because even a both, sometimes it's either or. And Jesus says that this morning. He says, sometimes you have to choose what's best. You can't follow two contradictory goals. Because in the inside of your notes there, it says, no one can serve two masters. Either you hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. But you cannot serve both God and money. In other words, you cannot focus on two things. You cannot focus on the magician and the beautiful lady at the same time. You got to choose which one of those two you're going to do. You cannot focus on God and focus on stuff. Doesn't work that way. And then he shifts gears just a little bit. But there's a therefore. And the therefore is there to connect these two thoughts together. And he begins to talk about why we store up treasures on earth. And he says it's probably because we're worried about the future. That we don't trust God to be able to meet our needs. And he says this, therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Isn't life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? I mean, look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And are not you more valuable than they? I mean, can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. And if that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, gone tomorrow, thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? And Jesus then begins to remind us. He says, you know, probably the reason you're storing up all this stuff is you're concerned about the future. You're worried about the future. You're worried about what you'll eat or drink, or whether you'll have enough clothes to wear, or whether you'll have enough for your retirement, or whether, you know, whatever your issue about the future is, you know, how your kids will turn out, or how your life will turn out, or whatever it is. And he says, you're worried about the future. And you're worried about stuff in the future. You're worried about food and drink and clothes and all that kind of stuff. And God is saying, don't worry about that kind of stuff. So I take them literally. I don't worry about my clothes that much. You know, I wear basically the same stuff all the time. And I follow Rick Warren, you know, from the Purpose Driven Life. Rick Warren always said, my fashion statement is as long as it doesn't itch. And that works for me, you know. And I know some of you are different. You're much more drawn to that kind of stuff. So for me, I don't have as much of a challenge with it. But you know what's interesting is that Jesus is not an ascetic. He's not saying, you know, you need to sell all your clothes and you know, just run around in the same pair of blue jeans every day. He says, Solomon in all his splendor was not dressed like some of these. And will he not much more clothe you? He's not saying it's bad. He's saying just don't focus on that. Don't make that the single point that's most important. Don't make that what you're focused on. Because if there's anywhere that moths rust and people change fashion styles on you with clothes, we know that clothes don't last. Food doesn't last. Drink doesn't last. So he goes on, don't worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? Pagans run after all those things. And your heavenly Father knows you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. All those things will be given to you as well. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And Jesus is saying, where is your focus? What is most important? Can't serve two masters. You can't say it's a both and. I love my clothes and I love God. It's got to be one or the other at this point. And he's saying, what is it that you worry about? Are you worried about financial stuff? Are you worried about the future in some other way? And the definition of worry that I come back to again and again in these sermons, the one that my friend Sergio gave me down in Mexico, is worry is thinking about the future without God in it. In other words, it's focusing on the future, but not focusing on God. It's just believing that when we think about the future, God won't be there. His promises won't come true. And Jesus is saying, don't worry about this stuff. God knows you need it. God's going to look after you. God knows you need food. God knows you need a job. God knows you need a home. God knows, you know, whatever. But are we willing to focus on God? Are we willing to focus on Him? Or are we going to worry about the future and stew over it? You know the difference between worry and prayer? Worry and prayer are the same thing, really. Except worry is just thinking about the future. Prayer is putting God into that future. When we pray, we take what we worry about and we put God into it and say, God, I need you to be involved and concerned and caring about this. Our prayer is simply focusing on God in the future. Worry is simply taking God out of that equation. And Jesus says, what is your focus? Where are you concerned? And do you see God in the future? And then he sort of makes a shift, a morph, if you want. And he starts talking about others' behavior. And he starts talking about judging. And he says, do not judge, or you too will be judged. In the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. I mean, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in someone else's eye, but pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? And how can you say, hey, let me take that speck of sawdust out of your eye, when all of the time there's a plank in your own eye? Hypocrite. First take the plank out of your eye. Then you can see clearly enough to remove the speck from the other person's eye. And don't give dogs what's sacred. Don't throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces. And so Jesus then makes this shift. He says, well, maybe you're not focused on stuff. Maybe you're not focused on the future. Maybe what you're focused on is the people around you. And you're focused on them in all kinds of different ways. How do we focus on people? Well, sometimes we focus on, how do people see me? How do I look in their eyes? How do I need to behave? Or sometimes we just focus on their behavior, you know. We become judgers, as he says, of people. And he spends a lot of time in the Sermon on the Mount. That word hypocrite occurs numbers of times. And a hypocrite is one who's focused on unimportant things, focused on others. And I think one of the challenges of life is one of the ways we sometimes build ourselves up is we tear other people down. In other words, we judge other people in an unhealthy way in order to make ourselves feel better. And we start to try and find all their faults so that we feel better about ourselves. Now, there's this fine balance in this thing, because some people have interpreted that to say we should never judge people's behavior, but that isn't actually what he says. Jesus finishes that section by saying, don't give what is sacred to dogs. Now, how do you know what a dog is? Because it's not a literal dog. It's a person that he's talking about there. He's saying you got to be discerning with people. Pearls before swine, sacred to dogs. He's saying you need to be discerning. And here's maybe a way to put it. Jesus says you need to be discerning, but not damning. Sometimes we judge people with God's judgment, you know. Well, that person can't be what it, all that. But what Jesus is saying is discernment, and I think this is a distinction. Discernment is making that critical distinction for a positive purpose. Damning is making that critical distinction for our own benefit or gain, or to run them down or whatever. It's not our place to pronounce God's judgment over people, but it is our place to be discerning. And as a church, you know, Paul talks to the Corinthian church and he says, you know, you got this problem. You got this guy that's living with his father's wife, and that's not, you know, you guys should have done something about that. So he's saying there's a sense of corporate judgment as well. That church discipline is good, but he's saying, you know, you need to do that wisely and well and for the good of the person. So he's not saying don't be discerning. He's saying don't be judgmental. Don't be damning. Don't be people who run others down, who destroy people. And then he says, you know, you need to be really careful because you might have this plank. It's a roofing beam. It's a, you know, a full-size joist. You might have this in your eye and just see the speck in the other person's. And what planks of wood and sawdust have in common is they're both made of wood. And sometimes when we're judging people, do you ever find that the things that we judge in others are the things that we actually do see in ourselves? It's the similarity that's there. We're often more critical of the weaknesses in ourselves that we see in other people. And Jesus is saying, be careful about that when you're judging others, because often what you're seeing is the same material that's in your own life. And he's saying, make sure that you don't have a bigger issue with this than the person that you're trying to help. Be discerning, not damning, not exaggerating, not whatever. Your focus should not be on other people's behavior as a distraction for your own or a rationalization for your own. And after 12, do not. He finally gets to, I think, the heart of the Sermon on the Mount. I think this is sort of the high point of the Sermon on the Mount. After this, we'll look at this next week, he's going to come into the application. He's going to say, you know, there's narrow and wide gates. He's going to say there's wise and foolish builders. He's going to say those kind of things. That's really application. What he's saying is, after all the do nots, blessed are these people who do not do this. And how do you not do that? And how do you become the people? It's where your focus is. And that's that passage that we read at the start. Ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. Everyone who asks receives. Those who seek find. Those who knock, the doors gets opened. If you ask for bread, if your son asks for bread, will you give him a stone? If he asks for fish, will you give him a snake? If you, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? In everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. And Jesus comes at this point and says, after all these do not have your focus here things, he's saying this is where your focus needs to be. Our focus needs to be not on stuff. It needs to be not in the future, worrying about what's going to happen. It doesn't need to be on the people around us. Are they behaving properly and whatever? It needs to be on us. You know, it's this question. It needs to be on God. And Jesus has slipped in kind of a few allusions to that already. In the Beatitudes, he says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are those whose focus is on God, seeking him. Earlier in our passage, he said, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all this will be added unto you. And now he teaches deliberately, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. And again, I think it's just three things saying the same thing in different ways, but there's subtle distinctions you can make if you want. But basically, Jesus is simply saying, is our focus on God? Are we seeking, asking, and knocking on God's door? Because if we focus on God, then we don't have to really worry about what our focus is not on. But he gives us all these examples to kind of say, well, if you're worried and focused on this stuff, then probably your eye is not on God. And he comes to us at the end of this and he says, if you ask and seek and knock, then your eyes are on God. So as we wind up this morning, what's the question, I guess, is what's our eyes on? What's our focus? Don't worry about what you'll eat or wear. So we're here at church. And question comes this morning, did we worry more about what we ate this morning and how we dressed and groomed ourselves this morning? Or do we worry more about getting ready for meeting God in his house? Where was our focus this morning? Was it on what we wear, what we eat, or Was our focus on the worries that, you know, Sunday morning we kind of slowed down a bit so our worries can shout a little bit louder? Were we focused on stuff? Or were we focused on God? Where was our focus this morning? Where was our focus this past week? Maybe this whole thing about worries, you know, we live in a strange economy, we live in a strange time, and our worries yell at us in these kind of times. And the question this morning, was our focus on God or was our focus on those concerns, even as we've sat here this morning and our minds have wandered in and out of the sermon? What have we wandered to? Concerns, worries, cares? Don't worry about others. We live in a strange time. And I just kind of wonder this week, how much time have we focused on God? How much time have we focused on criticizing prime ministers and presidents? Lots of that going around these days, right? And the question is, are we focused on the behavior of others? Or are we focused on God? Are we discerning and caring and we take that to God? Or are we judging, running down, criticizing? Jesus says, where's your focus? What's your eyes on? And I just think as we close up this morning, what is it that God's saying to us? And I think he's saying to us, don't worry about stuff. I know you need stuff, he says. I know you need clothes. In fact, I want you to have good clothes. I want you to enjoy your clothes. I want that to be, you know, I want you to have good food. I want you to enjoy your food. He's not ascetic. You know, he's just saying, don't focus on that. When you focus on me, that becomes a byproduct. He's not saying, don't worry about the future. Be wise. Plan. But don't focus on that. Focus on me. And I will give you wisdom on how to do that. He says, are you worried about stuff in the future? The passage says, ask, seek, and knock. For if your son asks for a fish, well, will you give him a snake? And, you know, in Jewish thought, for one thing, fish is kosher. You can eat fish, but you can't eat a snake. It's non-kosher. So not only is a snake dangerous and whatever, it's useless. God says, I will give you what you need when you focus on me. So you're worried about the future? I will give you what you need. Are you worried about everybody else's behavior? Well, instead of judging them, maybe what you should do is do to them what you wish they would do to you, that golden rule. And Jesus says, if you follow that golden rule, that's a much better way of our relationship with people than judging. It's the antidote to judgment. If we love them the way we wish they loved us, and serve them the way that we wish they served us, we will find it much easier than judging them. And then Jesus says, you know, if you do those two things, if you focus on me and not worrying about stuff in the future, if you focus on others, you'll fulfill the Old Testament. Jesus asked one time, what sums up the whole Old Testament? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. And this morning, God calls us to those two things. Don't worry about the future. Focus on me. Don't worry about others. Love them as you wish they loved you. Love God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. And your focus will be in the right place. Father God, we pray this morning that you would give us right focus. As we've listened this morning, we've found places where we've been distracted, Lord, where our eyes have been drawn off of you to others, to the future, to worries of stuff. Lord, we just know that you said that we can't serve two masters, that our focus needs to be on you. And when our focus is on the right place, then everything else falls into its right place as well. And so, Father God, we pray this morning that you would help us to be those whose focus is on you. Those, Lord, who seek first your kingdom. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Those who ask and seek and knock, because our attention is on you. And Father God, this morning we pray that you would help us to become those people you want us to become, because our eyes are focused on you. And so, Father, we just come to fix our eyes on you, because we know that that's your call on us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.